Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha, it's Lani Ka'a'a in studio for Danny Yamashiro, along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Aloha, and welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Many couples find that ministry is all-encompassing. Time with your spouse is hard to prioritize, and balance can sometimes seem impossible. Our guests today, Mark and Diane Beeksma, share their life in ministry and how the Lord has ministered to them as they have served Him. We pause to remind you the reason we have the Good Life Radio Show. It is to lead you to Jesus Christ, for there is always hope in Him, no matter what you are going through. Jesus died for your sins and mine, Suzanne's, everyone's, and He shed His blood on the cross. He was buried, but He did raise on the third day. Today, He is calling you to His side. Will you hear His voice? Would you heed His message? Would you come? Would you receive Him? Mark and Diane Beeksma join us in studio today. Diane was born on Kauai. Mark is from Whidbey Island, Washington. They both grew up attending church, but later learned the necessity of following Jesus with all their hearts. After spending time in the mission field, Mark worked as a senior analyst for the U.S. Treasury, while Diane managed a large bridal business in Seattle. Today they live on Kauai, where they raised their five children. Mark and Diane, welcome to our show.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's great to be with you.
Awesome. You know, we rarely do couples, but it's so much fun because we get to hear from both of you and the interaction we just love. So let's start with you, Mark. Where did you grow up?
So I grew up on Whidbey Island, north of Seattle. It's a rural island. It's a lot like Kauai. Very beautiful place, water and mountains in both directions. Mm-hmm. And I was privileged there to have parents that loved Jesus. My grandfather was a wonderful man, but he was not a believer in Jesus. But my father, my grandmother took my father to church, and he decided to follow Jesus and in his teenage years. And so he married my mother, and they were following Jesus. And so I grew up going to church. It was a Dutch community, and it was kind of special because it was a very large community where so many people went to church. There was a big Dutch Reformed church there with about 600 people going. For a small town, it was quite a special time. And my pastor just loved Jesus, and I had such wonderful memories with him. Mm. And I really believed in Jesus since I was, as long as I can remember. Mm. I remember even when I was very little, they told me about Santa Claus, and I said, that doesn't make any sense at all. I don't believe that. But the first time I heard about Jesus, I believed. And so I kind of always did believe in Jesus as long as I can remember. I was asked, at church they had an altar call when I was like 12 years old, and I came forward to pray to receive Christ. Mm. Wow. And then later when I was in high school, I started seeing how I had a lot of constricting rules at that stage. And I kind of went through a stage where I thought, you know, it'd be a lot easier if I didn't believe in God. I could do whatever I wanted. Mm-hmm. And so I tried to become an atheist for a while. Mm-hmm. And I finally gave up. I didn't have enough faith. Mm-hmm. So everywhere I looked... Everywhere I looked, I saw evidence of God, His beauty, His genius, mm-hmm. and I just couldn't get away from it. So mm-hmm. I continued to believe in Jesus. Mm-hmm. And then when I was 19, a friend took me to a Keith Green concert.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
You're familiar with what that experience was like. Mm-hmm. And so I really learned that it's all or nothing. You can't go halfway with Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so I decided I'm going to go all in. Yeah. And that's when I really started having fun with Jesus, when I decided I'm whatever it is, I'll do it, mm-hmm. no matter mm-hmm. what. Mm-hmm. And before that, I think I had too much God in my life to enjoy sin and too much sin to enjoy God.
Yeah.
But good. Once I went all in, it really got fun for me.
Yeah. I love that message because I sort of paused when you said I had constricting rules, and I thought to myself, well, that's a nice way to put it. My teen wouldn't say the same nice words about what he's got going on, but you said constricting rules, and I thought, wow, okay, now that we look back on our life, we can call it that. But in the midst of that, you learned so early that all in is the only way to live the fullest life that God calls us or that God blesses us with. It's only in the all in that you can do that. When you're trying to straddle the line and see how much you can or cannot get away with, or whether, you know, a rule, you know, could look this shade of gray or that shade of gray, that is so much stress. That is so much chaos, I feel. And that all in concept, I love how you just shared that. Thank you. Thank you. Diane, how about you? Did you grow up in Seattle as well? Or
no, I'm born and raised on Kauai, so mm-hmm. I'm an island girl.
All right.
A local girl here. And my parents came from the Philippines and worked very hard. Mm-hmm. Didn't grow up in a Christian home, although my parents were, of course, very hardworking. Mm-hmm. And they would actually drop us off at the Salvation Army Church on Sundays and go home and work. And so that's kind of how I grew up. And unfortunately, there was a very tragic, painful experience in our family. I grew up with six children altogether, mm-hmm. and I had a sister, Gail, who was very, she was, for her age and her life, she was just very enthusiastic as a believer. She truly loved the Lord in a way that was really quite unusual for a young person.
Mm.
And so at 17, she had a confrontation with my parents and said, you know, why isn't it that you can't give 1 hour of your entire week to give thanks to God? Mm. He is so good to our family, and I just want you to be there with us. And of course, you know, typical Filipino parents, they were quite upset at my sister and said, you know, how dare you? You know, you're so ungrateful, so unthankful for all that we do to sacrifice so that you have a better life. And Gail proceeded to just really tell them about the love of Jesus. And in the end, she came running to the bedroom, and we shared a bedroom, and she says, you know, if it takes anything for mom and dad to get saved, I pray that it would be done, even if it cost me my life. Wow. And at that point, I looked at her and I said, why would you say such a thing? And she said, well, it's true. If something happened to me and mom and dad became believers, it would all be worth it. It would all be worth it. And 3 months later, her first year at Chico State University, she was with a brother in the Lord, actually, you know, immediately got involved with a campus crusade there. And she was with a brother, and they were got him on a motorcycle, and he wanted to show her some of the covered bridges there in California. And he lost control of the bike, and she flew off and immediately was killed.
Wow.
And that night, of course, changed everything. Mm. The church was so amazing. They all, they all congregated at our home that night, and the pastor actually led my parents to the Lord that night.
Wow.
And that was the totally different trajectory for the rest of our family. At her funeral, there were over 40 of her classmates.
Wow.
That became Christians to her death.
Wow.
As well as our entire family bowed our knees to the living God. And although there were a lot of, you know, questions and anger at times, and, you know, why God, you know, God was so faithful to lead our family in a direction that was going to serve him. with all of our hearts. And that's where we are today. Wow. I mean, our entire family just love the Lord. And since then, my dad has gone to be with the Lord about 4 years ago. But my mom is 89, and she still praises the Lord every day, and she looks forward to heaven.
Wow.
And, of course, seeing her husband and her daughter. So, anyway, that's a little bit of my story.
Wow, that's amazing. And she prophetically spoke how all of you would come to, especially your mom and dad, would come to know him. What difference has he made in your life, Mark? What difference has he made?
Well, I think the first big difference was just the joy that I felt in serving Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's a kind of, I think it's a little bit ironic because sometimes we want to get a little more joy from Jesus and a little more joy from the world or a little more joy from here or there. But we end up not being happy at all, like you were saying. Mm-hmm. And yet when we really follow Jesus with all our heart, there's just such a joy in following Jesus. So I think joy has been a huge difference. I was really affected primarily by my father, and he had an amazing testimony to me because when he became a Christian as a late teenager, he came home. He was offered a job at Burroughs, which was a pretty good job in Seattle, but he decided to come back to his hometown and focus on God and family, and he always seemed to have time for his kids. He took us hunting, fishing, snow skiing, just so much family time together, and he also taught the Bible at his church. He was the adult Bible school teacher, and he was always busy preparing his lessons. But after a couple of years, he was offered a job at a little bank with just two employees, and he was running it.
Wow.
And that's where he worked. And he never worked long hours. He just did a good job and put the Lord first in the business. And over 40 years, when he left the bank, he had over 900 employees. And they had 55 branches, 55 branches around the Northwest.
Wow, what a
blessing. He had always just kept the Lord first through all that. Mm-hmm. And they'd start, the officers of the bank would start each week in prayer together for all the things ahead of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just such a great testimony.
Yeah.
And he was even later asked to represent the savings banks in the state of Washington, and then later nationally, 3,000 banks were asking him to be their representative.
Wow.
So he would meet. He even met with President Bush 41 and President Reagan, and you know, just a small town guy who really wasn't trying to be a big success, but he just put Jesus first. And anyway, I thought that was my desire was, you know, he was just such a hero for me, and I wanted to be like him. I ended up taking a job after I got my master's in finance. I took a job for the U.S. Treasury, learning about banks, and after a few years, I kind of realized I just didn't have those gifts. I couldn't be like him, but I was a math guy. I eventually figured out what to do with myself, and the last 20 years, I've been using math to do stock trading. And I work for I work for the nonprofit foundation that my dad started.
Wow.
And also for myself.
Oh, wow.
So good.
And so able to get you know, very high rates of return. And so I eventually found what I could do, but I think that the big thing to discover is what your gifts are and what the gifts in the body of Christ are. And even in the body of Christ, I've never been in paid ministry. We've done volunteer work. We met in Japan, Diane and I. We were friends at that time, but we both did volunteer work in Japan. And I was able to, you know, God gave me some gifts as well. I think faith is maybe one of my gifts. Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of miracles.
Amen. And we want to talk a lot more. I'm sorry, Mark. We want to talk a lot more about that. I just want to kind of pause, and we're going to take a quick break. But I just loved how you talk about joy. I don't think that's mentioned enough, that living a life with Jesus is living a life of joy. And I can't think of anybody I know that doesn't want more joy in their life right now. especially now. And the place to find it is in the Word of God and in a relationship with the joy giver, Jesus Christ. We're with Mark and Diane Beeksma. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. We'll talk a little bit more to Diane about her life in Jesus Christ. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Hear me calling. Hear me calling.
You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Aloha, Lani Ka'a here in studio for Danny Yamashiro. I'm joined by my co-host, Suzanne Maurer. And today we're talking to Mark and Diane Beeksma, a family on Kauai who has joined us for the day. But before we continue our conversation, I want to remind you that if you would like to hear this program from the very start and right through the entire hour, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. You can listen to it there, download it. And if someone has placed someone you know on your heart to share it with, please do share it. You can share them the link to them and bless them today with this message. In our last segment, we were talking to Mark a little bit about what Jesus has meant in his life. And I wanted to ask Diane the same question. What has Jesus meant in your life?
Gosh, Jesus has given me purpose, you know, a reason to live. I think, and a lot of that stems from the fact that when my sister died at 17 and I was 16 at the time, I thought, wow, I mean, you know, your life can be taken and that's it. Mm-hmm. And so in learning and growing and knowing that God had a higher reason, even in my sister's death, there was reason for her life. I mean, her life was such an incredible example of service to the community at such a young age and being such a strong evangelist. And you know, I mean, who can say at 17 that, you know, 40 people would come to know the Lord through your death? Mm-hmm. And so that's always been kind of a, you know, a reason for me to really honor God in my life and to trust Him in just the individuals that come my way. So, yeah.
Mark, I know you were talking before the break about finding your own gifts and how, you know, your father, you're following your father's footsteps, but realizing at some point that God created you a little different just to do for a unique purpose. Talk about that struggle, because I think many of us struggle with that. You know, we have a vision as we're young about what we should be because it's sort of painted for us. We're sort of guided into a direction, if you will. But sometimes it's not exactly the direction of the Lord. And in that transition, what was that like?
Well, thank you. I think I am, of course, extremely grateful for my parents. I think sometimes if you have a parent who's very successful, as a child, you put more pressure on yourself because you feel like you have to measure up. And sometimes that makes it harder because maybe you push yourself beyond your abilities or something like that. And I think I did that in some ways. And so I think I should have listened to more advice. I took an aptitude test in high school, which said I should be an engineer. But I thought, you know, I don't see many engineering jobs in a small town. I'd rather do business because you can live in anywhere you want. And anyway, I had my own reasoning, but I think that's kind of pride. I should have listened more to the advice I was getting. Because in hindsight, I think I would have been a better engineer. But I kind of took the long way, and I eventually figured out that the mathematical abilities that I had, I could use with stocks. And the nice thing was, I think the Lord worked it all out, because we've been able to do some mission trips, especially the last few years, where I can keep working. And so we can go overseas for maybe a month or something, and I can just keep working online there. And we can, so it has opened up a lot of doors. And I think even our mistakes, you know, God ends up using those. And that's the wonderful thing about it. But eventually, I think you just have to just realize that God made everybody different, and we shouldn't try to be someone we're not, and just be who we are. And really, the gifts that God gives us are not for ourselves so much, but it's for others, so that we can serve with our gifts.
I think I read somewhere in your bio that you actually met on a mission trip. Would that be right? How did you?
Yes.
I'm interested to hear that story, and especially how you got engaged. That's pretty phenomenal. So, Diane, you want to share that?
So I right after I graduated from Washington State University, I had a call from the Lord to go to Japan and work with a college ministry there at the Keio University in Tokyo. And so I was doing missions there and helping really just, we were ministering, teaching English using the Bible as our text. And, but just how God just really opened the door to really think differently as well with missions. I remember looking down at an incredibly busy crossroads in Tokyo, and I was asking the Lord, you know, you see thousands and thousands of people crossing the road at once, and I remember asking the Lord, you know, what difference can I make? I'm only one person who doesn't even speak Japanese, and I just really felt like the Lord said, you know, just one at a time. You look at them individually, one at a time. And it's interesting how God brought individuals into our life that were really were leaders. And so never underestimate, you know, one person.
I would like to brag on my wife a little bit. She went over there in the 80s, and at that time, and even being you know, somewhat even looked down on by the Japanese. And that was a time when Japan was ripping and roaring economically, and they were at the top of the world. But she was there for 3.5 years, and she led dozens of Japanese to Christ.
Wow.
And that was back at a time when, you know, missionaries would go over for 10 years and maybe have one or two people that they lead to Christ. So God really used her. And a lot of one thing she did, which I think was a good strategy to me, she would have parties. She would have big parties and invite the Japanese, and then she would have, then they would just have a discussion and it would turn to Jesus. And it was just amazing to see different people come to the Lord. She was there, she went in 84, and I came just for the summer in 85. And it was a funny story because when we got there, when I got there, there was an upcoming outreach, and the pastor's son was born 2 months premature. And he said that he couldn't be there for the outreach. And we don't know who he told. He probably told Diane first, but basically he told Diane, he said, "I'm gone. You're going to be in charge while I'm gone." And then he told me that. Then he told me the same thing separately. So our first relationship, our first few days together, we both thought the other person had a problem with authority.
I love that. So, I love that.
Anyway, it was pretty funny, but because we eventually, after a few days, we figured out what happened and we laughed about it. And so we were just friends that summer, and then I came home at the end of the summer. That's when I had a couple of miracles that I saw that summer. The most dramatic is another college student who was there with me. We were waiting for the train, and a woman had been hit by the train. She must have been hit a ways away because we didn't see her hit.
Wow.
But when the train left, they pulled her out and set the body right in front of us. And it looked lifeless.
Wow.
It was not moving. Things were pointed the wrong direction. And we looked at each other, and we were just kind of like, wow, you know, we came all the way across the Pacific Ocean to talk about Jesus, and here this is right in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
So we started praying boldly, and the Japanese all kind of backed up and nodded. And we were saying in English, we're not doctors, call 911. But they didn't understand. But they were all watching us, and so we started praying boldly for her to be healed. And then we just watched as God mended her right in front of our eyes.
Wow.
And she was completely mended. She stood up and thanked us and bowed. And so
wow.
She didn't speak English. We didn't speak Japanese. So I gave her a tract about Jesus. And then I saw another instant healing as well that summer. And so it was pretty exciting. In both cases, we just gave them a track that didn't connect with the discipleship we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like to encourage people to see. I think because the Japanese are further away from God in their society and culturally, I think God is willing to go to greater lengths to get their attention.
Yeah.
And so even though I've seen a lot of healings in the United States, I didn't really see those kind of things in the United States. But over there in Japan, it was just happening. And it happened again, we can tell you later, but it happened again this year. We were in Japan, and we saw another instant healing.
We're going to Mark, we want to hear that story when we come back. That's amazing, the power of God. And, you know, he is everywhere, and your mission trips. Let's just talk about mission work, something on your heart, something I know many in our audience are called to. But sometimes there's a fear, especially today, you know, with the chaos and the rioting and the different things in our country and beyond. How do you become a missionary? What is it to be a missionary? Stay with us. We're at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Mark and Diane Beeksma are our guests today.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day.
Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Yamashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Lani Ka'a'a here with Suzanne Maurer in studio. We have as guests Mark and Diane Beeksma today. Mark and Diane Beeksma live on Kauai, and they're missionaries who met in Japan and continue to do their mission work today. We were having a great discussion in the last segment about the miracles that they have been able to see. And Mark, sorry to cut you off. What other miracles you were going to share with us? What was that about?
Well, we have been, the last few years since our fifth child left the nest, we've been able to do a little more traveling.
Uh-huh.
We had four boys and a girl, and we had them in 6.5 years, so we had pretty bunched up there.
Wow.
But wonderful time. And then because I work online, we were able to do a little more traveling the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
And our oldest actually lives in Japan. He's lived there the last 4 years, and he's fluent in Japanese, and he works at a Japanese company there, and he's also done translations for his church for the sermons and things.
Mm-hmm.
And we wanted to go visit him, and I love to snow ski, and growing up in the Northwest.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's a listener here who recently moved to Hawaii, I recommend skiing in Japan. It's the same business.
Mm-hmm.
Same distance as Colorado, and the snow is better, and the lift tickets are way cheaper. So, anyway, we met our son in Hokkaido in January this year for a ski trip, and we thought we'd spend some time in Sapporo with the ice carving festival. Mm-hmm. And Diane actually had a friend that she knew 35 years ago in Japan who had moved up to Sapporo.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided we were going to spend the day with her. We found out just a few days before we got there that she had had breast cancer a year before, last year, and then recently just heard the news that it had metastasized into bone cancer and lymph cancer. And part of me actually was starting to get excited when I heard that, and which sounds bad, but 'cause I'd love to see what God would do. So, but anyway, we went there and we spent the whole day with her. And then with three of us just prayed for her to be healed.
Mm-hmm.
And then her husband came home. He's a traditional Japanese guy. He was not a Christian at all. And I guess she had sort of been a Christian for a while, but was not at that time. And, but we, before the husband came home, we all prayed for her for complete healing.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we had a wonderful evening with her husband and her, and went to karaoke and different things. Well, the next day she had a doctor's appointment, and we found out later that the doctor sort of was freaking out because he said, I don't know what happened. There's been some kind of mistake. Yeah. We have pictures of all your tumors last week when you were in here. Mm. They're all gone. And so they sent her out. They sent her through extensive tests for the next couple of weeks, and she was completely clear of cancer. Mm. And now she's reading her Bible and telling her friends about Jesus. And so it was a very exciting trip. And that wasn't a mission trip for us. That was just a vacation. But I think, you know, as Christians, we can... It's fun to share the gospel wherever you go, whether you call it a mission trip or not.
You
know, Lonnie, is it okay, and you let me know if it's not, but I shared Mark and Diane with Lonnie about a chicken laying an egg once upon a time in your life after 2008. Would this be an okay time to hear that story, Lonnie?
Sure.
Sure. Well, I'd be glad to tell that story. We had moved to Hawaii back in 2002. Diane was coming back, and for me, the first time. And then I had done, from when I was a child, I always had a few chickens for household eggs. So I did that here, and they were doing well. And I was kind of looking for other opportunities to spend my afternoons. I was busy in the morning stock trading, but I was thinking about, I could do something in the afternoon. Maybe I can have a free-range egg farm on Kauai. But I thought, that's a reach for me. I'm a finance guy. I'm not a farmer. So anyway, I was down in the valley walking with my daughter one day, and I just prayed. I said, Lord, should I start a free-range egg farm? And right when I finished the prayer, I heard a chicken up in the tree above me go boop. So I looked up, and right between me and the hen, like she was 20 feet over my head, was an egg falling toward me.
Wow.
And I stopped walking, and the egg went like an inch in front of my nose. And it hit the tall grass and didn't break. So I knew that was supernatural. I don't know anybody else who's seen an egg drop, but the fact that it happened right when, at the end of my prayer, right in front of my nose. So anyway, I started as a side business, a free-range egg farm, and we've had it for the 12 years since then. And it was really great with the boys, especially, you know, gave them a job to be a part of. And so I think sometimes, if maybe for me, I don't have as much common sense sometimes, so I just have to ask God, and he just tells me what to do.
Yeah.
Not that everybody
Mark,
has to do that.
That's my kind of answer to a fleece. I really, it's the only one I've ever heard of a hen laying an egg from a tree, and it doesn't drop. Thank you for that. It doesn't break.
You know, Mark and Diane, I listened to your story, and, you know, I remember in the beginning of this story, you talking about, Mark, that, you know, there was not a long heritage of knowing the Lord. It was, you know, your grandfather, your grandmother just taking your father to church and him grabbing a hold of it, and then you seeing that and taking that. And then on the other side, Diane, is, you know, you as siblings knew the Lord, but not even your parents were introducing it. So I read through some of your bio and realized, you know, now you have children that are all actively serving in ministry, and how beautiful it is that you have begun to pass that down. How did you manage, you know, you said that you took, you know, there were years, 6.5 years and 5 children. That's crazy sounding to me. How did you keep them active in ministry? How did you bring them into ministry? How did you keep them connected to the Lord, even as they got older?
Gosh, you know, like everything else, it's totally God's grace, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think that they, you know, they've known our story, and we, of course, we were really, I feel we were very privileged to have had mentors in our life that showed us what a Christian family looked like. Mm-hmm. And so that was our heart, was to surround ourselves with like-minded people, families, godly people, pastors. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just so grateful. Mm-hmm. When we had moved back to Kauai, or I moved back to Kauai, we were privileged to be part of a church that was a very small church, but they were very strong in discipleship, and just the the Word and the gift of the Holy Spirit, and it was just a blessing to be able to be part of a church that had a very strong emphasis on family, and along the way, just having mentors that showed us along the way what it meant to be how to discipline your children, for example, you know, when our kids were young, what the Bible says about child training and how do you do that. And of course we were, you know, had no clue. And yet there were people in our lives that said, you know, well, why don't you just start a group, a home group, and start facilitating these child training seminars. And so that's what we started to do because we needed it the most.
Mm.
And I'm so grateful for that because life is hard as it is, much less having to be, you know, to have your children in a culture that's so anti, you know, God. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, such a blessing to be, have been part of that. And we facilitated these child training classes for, oh, I would say about 8 or 9 years.
Wow.
And so just a lot of fruit that came out of that. And hopefully others will be encouraged to just pour themselves into, you know, whether they need marriage counseling or, you know, child training courses, you know, just if you don't know anything about it, just find the curriculum and start one in your home.
Mm-hmm.
And God will do the rest. I think that we need to be initative about those things.
Mm-hmm. Mark, looking back on that.
Was there any specific curriculum? Excuse me, just real quickly. Was there any particular curriculum that you would recommend?
Gosh, the one that we used was it's called What the Bible Says About Child Training by Richard Bugate.
And, okay, thank you.
Yes.
There was also Growing Kids God's Way. You may have heard of that.
Mm-hmm.
Another one. And I don't know, there's probably, this was a few years, this was what, 15, 20 years ago. So mm-hmm. I'm sure there's a number of newer ones now that are very good.
Mm-hmm.
Mark, as you look back on your time with your children and fatherhood and, you know, so blessed to know that they continue to be connected to the Lord and walk in his path. What advice would you give to fathers, particularly, that are in the midst of raising young children or middle school children? What piece of advice would you give them?
I think for me, we were getting some really good training when the children were very small, and Diane was really putting it to use. So she did a lot of the hard work. She had more time for that. She dedicated herself to it. But she would actually do things like she would set up situations where the kids were probably going to disobey, just being ready for that, and then have it be a training. So then when they disobey, she's ready to train them instead of having it be some distraction from something else.
Mm.
So she really focused on the kids. And I learned basic discipline, how to discipline in a loving way and to actually correct them in a loving way, in an encouraging way. And they were well-behaved when they were young. And then later, I think they just kind of caught the passion. We were in a small church, and they all seemed to catch on their love for Jesus. Mm-hmm. I think my regret was I got kind of too busy in trying to make ends meet when they were teenagers, and didn't spend as much time with each of them individually as I wished I would have.
Mm-hmm.
And also, they were very close to each other, our five kids. And so oftentimes, they would just go do things together, especially when the oldest one started driving. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, isn't that great? You know, they all love each other, and they can have fun together. But what I'm having to kind of play catch-up on is really build individual relationships with each of them. So that's my regret. Mm-hmm. I wish I would have learned more about that sooner.
Okay.
But I'm just pleased that they did learn to be obedient, and they learned to love Jesus and when they were to work hard when they were young.
Yeah.
So that's all privilege, but yeah. And part of it is maybe my own mentality. I'm not quite as good socially, and I was maybe a little overwhelmed with how to have a relationship with each of these five kids, almost their own age. Almost the same age when I'm so busy.
Mm-hmm.
But mm-hmm. I fell short in that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd really encourage both the disciplining them properly, lovingly, consistently, so that they actually are trained when they're young. But then also spend a lot of time with them as they get older and develop those relationships.
Because
I'm having to do that, play catch up now.
So good. Mark and Diane Beeksma. So that's Mark. Thank you for sharing that. Such a good word to our audience, such a good word to our fathers. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, let's talk a little bit about what you're doing now in ministry. I know you've been part of some really amazing experiences right there on Kauai, really changing the climate and changing the spiritual climate of that island. It's Mark and Diane Beeksma. They're here with us, just sharing their life in ministry, their missions work, their parenting. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arunaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Lani Ka'a'a here with Diane and Mark Beeksma. My co-host, Suzanne Mara, is also joining us today. We continue our discussion in a moment, but if you'd like to hear today's program from the beginning, you can go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. You can listen to it there. You can download, and you can also share the message with others. If someone is on your heart today that might want to hear this or just glean something from it, please do consider sharing the message today. Mark and Diane Beeksma are active in their community on Kauai in ministry. They're also missionaries, and they do missionary work. They have five beautiful children, all serving in ministry, serving the Lord, and what an accomplishment that in and of itself. Mark, thank you so much for sharing your heart about fatherhood. and Diane's role, and thank you for partnering in raising five incredible children. What are you currently involved in ministry on Kauai?
Well, I think we've more recently we were serving on the mayor's prayer luncheon committee for many years, and we were bringing in helping to bring in speakers and have a big event for people from all different churches on the island to gather together once a year. And then there was also a youth event in the summer, so it was kind of twice a year we would have big events. And that has been very encouraging. It's been on our heart to see people from different churches all gathering together to love Jesus and worship the Lord. Mm-hmm. And we had some wonderful nationally world-known speakers. Ravi Zacharias has been on my heart, of course, lately with his passing. And it's just such a treat to meet him, just such a humble man. And he came here not demanding anything, just here to serve. Yeah. And so just wonderful memories with that. The last few years, we've been spending a little more time, spending about half a year in the Northwest to be near three of our kids are there, as well as my family. So we've been spending about half a year there. And one of the things we've been doing in Washington State is a healing prayer group. And I think I mentioned that briefly, but we've been part of that. And before COVID, anyway, it's a little harder to do it with COVID, but we would meet every couple of weeks, and I was able to bring some people who had stage 4 cancer to come, and then a number of us who all were interested in healing would pray for them, and they were both healed, surprisingly healed of the cancer over time.
Boldness.
So that's been exciting. Mm-hmm. I'd like to, it'd be encouraging to see more of those, because especially in the community, there might be different people who have the gift or interest in praying for the sick, and to have them be able to gather, place for them to gather and the sick to come and do that ministry.
Yeah.
So that's been encouraging. Yeah. And I think we've also been spending time traveling. Last year we went to the Philippines with one of our sons. Our second son came with us for 3 weeks doing mission work there. And had a wonderful time in the Philippines. Maybe Diane can share a little bit about that.
Mm-hmm. I have a cousin who is a medical doctor, and he's also a pastor of a church there in Manila, and has always invited us to come. And so we decided to go over there and just to kind of check out the land and see what God was doing there. And God changed our life, if anything else. But we were able to just join in with their team that ministered to the poorest of the poor.
Wow.
We were in the cemeteries where there were, I think they estimate, maybe 10,000 people that live within these cemeteries. And we have a team that they'll go out there once a week. And it's like, they're little small groups ministering in different parts of Manila. Mm. So we're in the cemeteries, and then there's another group that will minister to the jail ministries, another group that goes out and will minister to the tribal areas, and then also in the orphanages. And so we were able to just to really experience that, of course, we don't have any medical background, but we were able to do some Bible studies and share with people in the prisons and, bring food, bring toys to the tribal areas, bring ice cream to the tribal areas, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, again, just a life-changing experience. I'd love to take a team someday to go back. And you see the need and the hunger for, a deep hunger in people and opportunities to pray with those that are sick, that are hopeless. And it's just, you never know, right? God is working in their lives in a way that, he's just looking for faithful people just to lay hands on the sick.
Amen.
And he'll do the rest.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. You know, the Lord comes to mind. The scripture is, you know, the harvest is plenty. The workers are few. Yeah. Pray to the Lord of the harvest. I want to ask you, we have just a little bit of time left. But Mark, would you pray for more workers that the Lord would release into the harvest field?
Yes, thank you. Heavenly Father, we ask you to send forth laborers into the harvest field. I pray that you would take people like me who are maybe caught up in distractions and things that aren't really fulfilling them anyway, and call them to a greater purpose, and to be out in the harvest fields, wherever they are. The harvest fields right here in Hawaii are white for harvest. They're ready for harvest. And in the Philippines and in Japan and all over the world. And so we ask you, Lord, to send forth harvesters, bring a great harvest during this time when the world seems to be kind of out of control. We pray that you would just call forth laborers into the harvest field. And just for the joy, I see the joy that they're going to have, even in spite of the danger in some places, the joy that they will have in the experience and to be on the cutting edge of the kingdom of God and to see your kingdom, Jesus, fill this earth through every country, through every tribe and tongue, learning about Jesus and praising Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Thank you so much,
amen.
Mark and
Diane,
for joining us today. It's been wonderful hearing your testimony, encouraging for our audience. Thank you so much.
What a privilege.
What a privilege. Thank you so much.
Inspiring words from Mark and Diane Beeksma. There is really no better time than right now to share the love of Christ, the love that brings joy that Mark talked about, with someone near you. If someone needs joy, share Jesus with them. They'll find that joy. If you haven't done so already, today is the perfect day to open your own heart up to Jesus. Visit thegoodlikehawaii.com and click on Get to Know Jesus. To help us with your prayers, your financial support, make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click on partners, let us know that we have prayer partners in the city. John 15:12 says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." It is always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Mark and Diane. Until next time, along with my co-host and guest coordinator, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer, Chaz Ontai, web designer, Arlen Nagata, I'm Lani Ka'a for Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless